didn't realize y'all had so much talent in this church. I heard something late, that your brother sung that song. I haven't ever heard that song. I don't know if there's a way possible to move around, if you could bring him down there to camp meeting. We would feed him and put him up and let him sing that song. Boy, that'd be worth the dinner. And all the other ladies sang. Because I heard some of them here from my eyes, some like the Lord. The old timers used to say, hold us tonight. Amen.
Amen.
They didn't used to say, help us, hold. And boy, I tell you what, I like the old ways myself.
Yes.
I just like the old ways. And I want to say to Brother Ron, I thoroughly enjoyed the invitation. I feel unworthy of the opportunity. Looking back in a lot of notes I had, I really need to redo some of them. They're about wore out, but matter of fact, I lost it, but I found it. And I'm looking, I said, well, that might be pretty. But I was trying to find something that maybe encouraging, you know, the last night. And I got right down to the last two. It said, State Street Baptist Church, 2009. I said, oh, man, that hurt.
When was it?
2009.
Oh, we've all forgotten that.
And then I had another thought that I thought, sure, it would. I really just, I told the wife I couldn't get settled. And then right before they started singing, boy, the Lord give me direction, and then boy, those songs really confirmed me.
Amen.
So I want to give you a little thought tonight. Let me see, oh yeah, all the ladies, that's the only expertise that I'm in is food. And I'm an expert. Some of it I can look at and tell you how you cooked it, or what you cooked it in. I was down in a little old place called Sorrento, Mississippi. I might have told y'all this. I never seen such a buffet in all my life. I took one bite of that fried chicken. I looked at that lady. I said, I'll tell you how you fried that. She said, you think so? I said, I know so. I said, you cooked that in a black skillet. Amen. Boy, that take it on up for a little different level, a little higher level than black skillets, you know. I think, but it's not unusual. Her husband had back problems, see. He never come in to serve. But said he's behind me. I really couldn't verify that, you know. But anyway, I never seen him sitting in the congregation. That kind of reminded me of the man. He told his wife tried to get him. He said, you know that preacher? He said, I go down here and preach just for me. She said, that's just you. He don't change just because people come in. He said, he does. He said, I'll tell you what, dude, just come and stand behind the door. Now listen to him. He said, I'll do it. So he stood out behind the door there, and he got me in a big way of preaching. I preached to him. He said, that goes right down right outside the door. Yeah, Lord, I tell you, but the Lord has been good. I'm going to try to trim it just a little tonight. But if I fail to mention anything, I do appreciate the accommodations and the food. Had I known that you were serving fried eggs and bacon, I wouldn't have tried to win it before else. I didn't hate them poles on him, but he wasted the last morning to tell me, you know. And I tell you what, we do go back a long way. I would like to remember where I met with Ron. And I tell you what, his preaching has always helped and encouraged me. So I do thank you tonight. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Luke chapter 23, verse 39? You'd think that those people sang those songs had knew what I was going to preach, but I didn't know what I was going to preach when I sat down a moment ago. And the Lord, he just kept confirming it. He didn't know what he said. Then one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him to say, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly,
yes.
For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, something changed. Yes. 3 or 4 hours prior, the book of Mark chapter 15 verse 32 said they both railed on him. They both said, if thou be Christ, come down and save us, and we'll believe on you. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It is about the sixth hour. There's darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Sun was darkened, and the veil of the tent of the temple was rent in the midst. Father, I wish I had words that was adequate to praise you tonight, to thank you for your mercy and your kindness to this church and the friendship. Oh, how I love today the fellowship we had over the meal and the church that furnishes that meal. We thank you for that. God, would you please help us tonight? Lord, I need you. I need that touch from another world. Lord, touch my body and my spirit. The Holy Ghost would bring things to my remembrance. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those that's lost, that know they're lost. Lord, those that are lost but not aware of it. God, would you awaken and alert and alarm them of the dangerous position that they're in. Lord, if there be one in our midst that's away from you, God, how we pray that you'd draw them to Calvary. Pray, Lord, that you'd be with all the family back home, that you'd help them. Be a brother in law, God, you'd touch him as he teaches over the church tonight. Now, Lord, what you do tonight, help us to give you all the glory, the praise, and the honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to show you two little words in our text tonight. I got these words prepared for a funeral. I preached it the first time at a funeral. Of course, I went in at a different direction. But then I got to look at that, and I began to add on. And I want you to see, I believe it's in verse number, let me see, I have my glasses, verse number 42. Verse 43. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me. That's my text tonight. With me.
Yes, yes.
You know, this technology just really, really got out of hand. You know, I guess maybe good. I didn't know this years ago. It's not been all that many years ago. As a lady, her and her husband, matter of fact, he proposed to her church at a revival. He told me, said, I don't say anything, but would you preach that week, brother? And he said, don't say anything to her. So I said, all right, Brother Roy. You just have to meet Brother Roy, Sister Carol. Now, I'm going to tell you what, she caught him no slack. I mean, she told him one time, she said, you sure are how to take care of you. I mean, they did it, but boy, they loved one another. But anyhow, I mean, he proposed to her right there. Miss Carol, would you be my wife tonight? I thought, boy, she said, no, it's going to be rough tonight. And he didn't know, but she did. And I was, Miss Carol was having some surgery, and I was in the waiting room with her daughter. And so she was over there, and she was on that phone. And all of a sudden she said, you know, I know where every one of my boys and my husband are right now. I said, really? She said, oh, yeah. I said, pray tell me how. She said, I got it right here on that phone. With me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then now my grandson, his wife, they don't work. Well, and that can be good, you know. But boy, you say with me, then I want to show you another little word here. Why did he use that word, remember me? Now that was his prayer. Yeah. Remember me. I'm sure just the text and the reading, he didn't really want to be remembered for a lot of things he'd done. I wouldn't think he'd be remembered for the robbery that he did, and that they tell me possibly he had killed someone. And I don't think he'd want to be remembered for that. But I got to look in the book of Psalms 25, verse 7. David prayed the same prayer. Remember not the sins of my youth. And I'm wondering, I'm just thinking, I don't really push it, but I'm wondering possibly this man has some knowledge of the Word of God. Could it be that a mother had taught him some things out of the book of Psalms? Whether that be true or not, I don't know. But he said, today thou shalt be with me.
Yeah.
With me in the paradise. And when you think about all the things that this young man has been through, I'm saying young, I'm just assuming that he was the younger. He was the younger of the two. Now, will that be right or not? I don't know. But my friend, can you say these words with me? With me. Boy, I tell you, we had the church that I moved my membership to. Boy, I tell you what they sang. I never heard sang, and they rejoiced. I tell you what, only time I ever heard anybody rejoice at the church I was raised in, if Uncle Fleet showed up when they sung that I'll fly away, get out of Dodge, son, he's gonna shout, amen. And boy, he'd shout, and then when my cousin got saved, ain't all the shout. That's the only shout I'd ever had. Then that little old lady over there, they were quick with her hair in front, and she hopped. Boy, she just hopped down the front there, you know. And man, they'd go to weeping. And I tell you what, brother, Lord, I just kind of liked it. Amen. I mean, I've never been in services like that. And man, that preacher preached my soul, how he would preach. And so, boy, to think about how about in that atmosphere, you know, how things change. Well, just very briefly, let me show you here the scenes in verse number 48. The Bible says, and they all stood, and all the people that came together to that site. You know, humanity can get very low, can't it?
Yes.
They didn't have 1 ounce of pity for him. Either one of them, I'm sure they said they deserved it. Jesus didn't deserve dying on the cross of Calvary. He should not have died for me, but he did. I didn't do anything to deserve it. Could not earn it. No way I could have it. It's a free gift. But I'm glad that day when I said, Lord, I'm so sorry for the sins I've done. God, I tried to quit. I can't. Please have mercy. Would you forgive me? Guess what? He forgave me.
Amen.
Changed my life. Changed my direction. You know, anyhow, you found this scene. The scene was there. Then there was a sound. In verse number 27, they followed him a great company of people of women, which also wailed and landed him. Now, I think these women were real. But they actually hire people in funerals to go weeping, you know. But I believe these ladies there that was maybe his loved ones and others added with him. It might have been Mary that one at the same, I got seven demons cast out of her. The Bible said, whom that has been forgiven much, loves much.
Yeah.
And boy, she is this one unusual thing. As a matter of fact, I believe I've got this right. She went over to the tomb and she said, if you just let me know where you took me.
Right.
In other words, what have you done with Jesus? And she saw two angels. That didn't surpass her. So she wanted the Lord Jesus, and she thought she had done those things for her, and she had been saved and delivered. And so you see the sounds. My friends are there of Jesus, my friends saying and praying. And so we see the scenes and the sounds. And then there's a sinner in the middle. Christ in the middle. That means, and I used to think this, he's just as close to one as he was other. Now, that might be true. But I was reading a little book. I went over to a meeting, and I was supposed to preach after dinner. And I thought a lot about preaching this text. And so I just trying to glean to find something to go with it, you know. And that effectus at this, he said the reason why they put him on the middle was because he was most sized. And one had done the worst and everything. They put him there for a ridicule that he was the worst. Boy, I said, Lord, I didn't know they did you that way. And then we see the sins and the sounds and the scene and the sinner. And then what softened the criminal's heart? What changed his mind? Was it what he heard? Was it what he saw? Did he hear Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do?
Yeah.
You think about hearing that, you know, maybe he looked over at him. But then, like I said, he changed his mind. And he said, this man hath done nothing of me. What softens people's heart? What softens your heart? What made you receptive to the Word of God? Oh, Christ, pray forgiveness. John was there about his mother. The book of Exodus chapter 10, verse 3. We find an interesting verse here in the book of Exodus chapter number 10. and verse number 3. And the Bible says here, and Moses there came unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. He said, what's it going to take to humble your heart?
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the things that wreck done for me, it really got to my pride. I struck like a peacock when I left the house that night. And boy, I know I've said this multiple times, but I mean, I'm going down Highway 171. I'm going to pick up a girl. We're going today. I don't know what I was going to be on that day, but I'm sure it wasn't going to be good, you know. And I'm talking about Brother Ron. I mean, just out of the blue, going and listening to no gospel music, no preaching, no nothing. I'm talking about loud in my soul. God said, son, get it right tonight. I said, not tonight. The sovereign. You know what? And listen, I was 18 years old. I could nearly take it to the place. It's something about when God deal with a man's heart. I remember when he dealt with me prior 6 months to that, when I told John, I said, I don't give a rip. I'm going to do as I please. And that same voice said, this ain't Johnny talking to you. Well, I'll tell you, I can't blame God. He did everything he can. Can I ask that tonight? He said, perchance, been doing your harm. Somebody said, well, you know, preacher, I'm way up in years. I probably can't do nothing. I tell you what, that dear brother back there, and I think he's in his 90s. Is that right? 94. Boy, I tell you, you can do what you, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but I mean what you might consider. I tell you something, I despise to ride cars. I got a lady in my church, she's so good at it. You tell her somebody's in the hospital, boom, that car's going. You can write cards. Now, me, I like to talk on the phone. My wife says I'm worse than a woman. And about talking on the phone. But you know, you remember Brother Brown, I went down and said, yeah, this is after he resigned his church and getting up on you. He first of all started having opportunities to preach, but then I just about got cut off. Here's what he told me. He said, I feel like an old muse between after the pastor. I tried to make it a point at least once a year to go by and see him. Well, I'll tell you what, another one. A guy that was dying with cancer, he was, boy, he was a good friend. For some reason, I just didn't go. And all of a sudden, he really took a turn for the worst. And I said, man, I'd be embarrassed to go over there and see him. But oh, God dealt with my heart. And I wrote a little poem. I was trying to think of what it was. If I could recall those days again. Boy, listen, to go to the saints' home and converse or say a prayer. Or just to think about some little thing, or make a telephone call tonight. Well, I want to tell you, this Savior tasted that bitter cup and the sweet taste of the sinner being saved. You remember when he came to know the disciples and they told him they went and got something to eat. And he said, I have meat to eat.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Not boy, don't you know that sweet when that woman got well? And she said, that well's deep. How can you get water on it? He said, if you just knew,
yes.
Who it is talking to you. And then he went on to call her husband. She said, I have no husband. And then the Lord kind of interrupted her and said, I know you don't have a husband. And then she said, sir, I've seen God or a prophet. And then, boy, I tell you, boom, she got gloriously saved. Amen. She went down the street telling people what God had done for her.
Right.
You know, can I just say this? I'm not being a smart man. Can I? And I'm not as bold as I should be. But the other day when my nephew died, it was a week prior to that, I preached on hell. And it'd been a long, long time since I preached on that subject of hell. But I got to think that ought to be one of the greatest motivations to tell somebody how they need to be saved. Well, preacher, you can't go around telling them they're going to hell. Well, maybe not in those exact words, but you can say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you know what that means? You do know that you've sinned, right? I'll tell you, I was talking about brother tonight, Mr. Buell Knight. Brother Buell Knight's in his 90s, 94, 95, something like that. He's a POW, World War II. I've never heard anything on him. His sister-in-law said he's a specimen there of a country gentleman. Man, I'll tell you, he was polite. He did everything. He didn't come to church a whole lot, but the invitation's always there. And I got to talk to him, Brother Gibson. Brother Gibson, you and he was in the Battle of the Bulge. And then I talked a while, you know. I witnessed to him and talked to him and talked to him. And then in his latter years, you know, his son said, Dad's in the hospital. And I went and saw him again. And I said, Mr. Bill, now the same. I'm telling you, you're coming down. You're coming down. He said, yeah, I know what I need to do. I said, well, why not today? He said, well, just let me think about it just a moment. I said, well, I said, God spared you a lot of years. He said, yes, sir. So anyhow, he come home. Saw what thy semen has. I really didn't want to go in there. And yet, when I got to talking, that boy got to hear everything I said to him. Uh-huh. And so I presented it, and I talked to him again. He said, now, I said, you said that the other day. Well, then, just a week or so later, he went back in the hospital. He went in intensive care. And so I went in there to see him. And I said, well, this is it. You know, today it ain't going to happen. And so I tell you what, I was waiting again for the boy and the grandson to go, you know. Just get me and him. Boom, he went off to sleep. I said, oh, no. And I sat there and I prayed. Well, when the nurse come in there, she woke him up. He was very alert. And the son and the grandson coming up. So God was working way ahead of me. There he is. I said, Mr. Knight, I've been honest with you. I said, you said you've been thinking about it. He said, I have. I said, don't you think it's about time? Brother Ron, here's what, a 94-5-year-old man. He said, Lord. No. He said, you know, he needs to know who I am. Lord, this is Bill Knight. Will you please forgive me my sin? I'm going to tell you what, I looked over at that boy. And I'm going to tell you what, son, God got to pour it on me. I had never been to a funeral where the Marine Corps had it. And he was in the Marines. And I'm going to tell you, but God, I told that again. I'm going to tell you what, the Spirit of God moved in that service. He moved in the graveyard. He moved in there. That boy, that son, that grandson, heard me what I say to him. Heard him when he said, Lord, this is pure night. Come into my heart and save me. And I tell you what, before they started, when that body come by, that old Marine started just barely coming. I'm going to tell you what, I went to spoil like a baby. Boy, I tell you what, that moved me so. But now, what made him wait that long? I don't know. Well, somebody said, you know, when you get close to die, you call on God. That don't think then.
Right.
This new couple's been coming. I say couple, they're not young. You, they've been coming and they're living over there. He was telling me about a man that's there. The lady come in to kind of take care of him. That she was taking drugs and getting his money and all that. Really, there wasn't nobody to take care of him. And that one boy was taking care of him. And then he went in intensive care on life support and got off and come home. Went back in the hospital. He was on life support. And that brother called me and said, would you go talk to him one more time? I said, sure. So I went in there. His dad was sitting beside him. And I said, sir, I know you can't talk. I know you can pray and ask God to forgive you. And I'm thinking of praying. You pray. And so I had a word of prayer with him, and I don't know, and I just backed off. And Brother Carey said, well, did he? And I said, I didn't ask him. And so he knew something was coming, aren't you? The family was coming, and everybody was crying and weeping. They knew they were going to unplug him. I mean, they'd already told the family. And so they was coming in and viewing him, you know. And so I said, well, and I went back over it one more time. And I said, sir, I believe you didn't pray a while ago. And I said, one more time I'm going to talk to you. And then you called on the Lord, and I prayed. And I said, sir, did you call on God? And he shook his head no. And Daddy said, boy, you better call on God. Listen, when you unplug him, 3 hours is in eternity. Don't tell me death will make me pray. No, sir. I tell you what, he said, no man come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. I tell you what, you don't realize that you need this for the hour when God moves in a servant like he did last night. Sometimes it's to rejoice. Sometimes it's to encourage. And sometimes it's to draw sinners to Christ.
Yes, yes.
I tell you what, it draws one, but it didn't the other one. The thief was confessed, convinced that Christ was the Lord. He said that there, I'll let remember me, Lord. He admitted his condition in verse 41. We are these, listen, for we receive that you, Lord, who are these, but this man had done nothing. The sinner conveyed and conversed his thoughts toward the Lord in verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy comfort. Thou comest to thy kingdom. Can you imagine the comfort that must have come to his heart? I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure Brother Rob has. I'm see if I can remember his name. Marcus. Well, not the one Peter cut his ear off. Did I say that right?
Malchus.
And if that could sound exactly right. I got to study him one time. His name means king. Why was he where he was at? There was 300 soldiers, could have been thousands. Why was he right there? I personally believe that he's going to be in on an accident if he could guide it to him. That's the reason why I think he went to draw a sword. And old Peter, he beat him to it and cut his ear off, you know. That's the first flesh wound that you find in the Bible. He felt the touch of the Son of God on his hand and on his ear. Not one time did he thank him.
Right.
You don't find it in the Scripture. Well, I'm telling you, my friends, people, oh, guy stopped, had a flat, his ex was flat. I took him to town, and you know, to get one of them fixed, you know. I talked to him about the Lord, and that's what he said. He said, you know, you get saved in the moment took the line. I said, well, that's true. The verse you quoted is about the Lord Jesus coming back. You know, it's interesting to me how people that some of the sins they do and live in sin and yet know a lot of the Bible.
Right.
He said, the words that I speak to you, the same shall judge you. Well, when you think about it, my friend, is he convinced? He was convinced it was Christ. He admitted his condition is conveyed. My friend, and then the company must have. Now, if this be true, I couldn't swear to it. If perchance his mother was there, or maybe a aunt, or maybe they had heard a lot of things in the prison. It's interesting in the prisons how word gets around.
Yes, sir.
I was telling about Morales being let go, you know. I was a preacher in the county jail. I said, what if somebody come in here and take your place? Oh, boy, said, I don't have that door and never look back. He just answered me right on the spot. Oh, but then, now let me give you this. Let me see, boy. Oh, I'm trying so hard here. If I get my clock set right, I'll do a little, all right, maybe do a little better. Amen. Now watch this. Be with me. Now watch this. The oneness that Christ desires of his the oneness, the fellowship.
Yes, yes.
I like fellowship in church. Brenda said, for some reason, y'all was the last one to leave. That's right. She said, I'm going to go home. I said, you go home and you can't go nowhere else. I like talking to folks. Yes. I like talking, I like fellowship, you know. You don't always have to be around chicken, but that adds a little something yes. to it. I'm going to tell you, I like fellowship. And that's one thing, I guess it might be a hindrance in visiting. I get somewhere. I got now what I say. I said, now you run me off here in 15 or 20 minutes, you know. I said, if you don't, I'll stay here too long. But I have. But I tell you, sometimes I've gotten the door that way. I like it when they say, you just come back any time.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no Puritan writer, Puritan preacher, Thomas Brooks wrote. Discord and division becomes no Christian. For wolves to worry the lambs, no wonder. But for one lamb to worry another is unnatural and monstrosity. It's not natural for a sheep to worry another sheep.
Yes.
The oneness that he desires. Well, I think about the good. Just the other day, I don't try to whoop it up or work it up. I sure was not done praying all the morning. Had one in showing of good service. And so he started Brother Larry, and then he kind of, what I was intending to do, he done already started it. Man, there's a few got going around. hugging one another, stick, you know. Oh, I always enjoy that.
Yes.
That remind me, I don't believe I surrendered to preach, I don't think so. They was using this young preacher, man, you know. And no boy, and I went to school with him. Jimmy Sanford was his name. He got saved that night on Sunday, and they had him down in front. Hey, boy, that church is coming down, you know. Thank you for getting saved. Welcome in the family of God. And there's one that rings difference from there, you know. And I was looking at the son of Jimmy, and you could just see his face, wow! Hey, I never done this in church, and I'm saying, hey, man, pour it on, you know. Well, I tell you what, I like it. When people, excuse me, give the case of the king, that was no what it is. About two or three times, the opportunity that's been offered you. The word opportunity means a combination of circumstances favorable for the purpose. But the opportunity. Now watch this. How much light did he have? I found this out. God always deals in light.
Sure.
Much is given, much is required. He said, while you have the light, walk in the light. Does that mean he's going to take some of it from? I can tell you this. You'll act on that light, he won't give you no more.
Right.
You act on it, you're true with him, and he'll give you more light. He'll give you lights in some ways you never thought of, you know. And boy, that light. But now watch this. The providence that arranged for that young man to be there,
yeah.
I guess you could say, on his deathbed. I don't know what he'd heard. I don't know how much light he had. I don't know if he was trying to be rough and tough, you know, when he's trying to save myself or not. But somewhere, somehow, some kind of light, some kind of remembrance come back to him. He'd heard something about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm marveled. That's one of my favorite words. Providence.
Yes.
Providence. And then I want you to know the power of the Spirit to draw you. And then he chooses preaching. Now we live in a society that don't have anything to do with preaching.
Right.
They want to, as the old preacher said, a little sermonette. Women dress like majorettes, and men smoke cigarettes. I just don't know. Run that by that, or that so long. But boy, I'm telling you, when I think about it, you know, I don't have a memory of never going to church. First whooping I got was a church. And then once again, I had on them little suspender jobs, you know. Daddy ripped me. I was jumping pews in church. I mean, I was playing. And he jerked me out to them and took me out beside that cedar tree. I don't know if it was that cedar them or what, but son, I never jumped pews no more in church. I mean, I'm about preaching. Can I say I like preaching?
Yes.
I like all preaching.
Amen.
I drive distances to hear men preach. I listen to it on the radio. And you know, some of them's got a unique voice. There's a Presbyterian. He's in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I don't know if you've ever heard of Brother Ron. His voice is unique. But I tell you what, son, he'll dig out some truths in that book. And I will be flipping on and say, I know who that is. And I turn it back to him. And so I want to consider having a unique voice, you know. And then with what there's preaching. And then there's promises. Promises. Find you a promise. Proverbs 28:20. Faithful man shall abound with blessings. Find you promises. And sometimes when you pray, maybe share the promise with the Lord. Now, he already knows it, but
sure.
You know, boy, that promise, you know. I said it the other night. Do you ever feel like that he don't know where you're at? One morning I had got up, studied. Boy, the devil, he really on me. He said, do you really think? Now, I told you. He said, do you really think an old country bumping like you down here on the dirt road? Do you think there's a God in hell that knows who you at? He said, you crazy. You dreaming, boy. Well, I went outside that morning and I went to get in the deep freeze and it was lit, you know, and it froze and it separated. Top come up. So it's still cool, but I just pushed it back down, put it in there, you know, set some weight on it. in my prayer, I said, Lord, I don't know if that's a real blessing or not, or a real need, but I said, I'm going to have it. And I went to the mailbox, and there's a letter in there from Rigby, Mississippi. I said, I don't know many people. I looked at that letter, I said, I don't know anyone. And so I recognized the church, his pastor. I called his pastor, and I said, tell me who this gentleman is. He said, you know, he says on the second pew, when he preached, I said, I know who it is, man. Well, him and his wife had been praying. And they had said, it's getting close to Christmas. And Lord, it kind of moved the Lord. So they said, we just come send Brother Terry a check. Now here's what was interesting. He said, before you called him, I said, you know what he said? That letter was mailed 2 or 3 days earlier. Before I prayed that prayer, huh? Well, I'm going to tell you what, tell me God knows what he's to do. Somebody said, you stretch it. You look at it any way you want to. He got there on time, amen, and convinced me that God knew where I was. Oh, listen, I'm going to say, he placed his trust in the Lord. He petitioned him in prayer, and he got to go to paradise that day. It's a morning in sin, afternoon in grace, and a night in glory. Amen. All this are his observations that he to be with. He did not go in the crowd. Here's one that got by me. I never saw this till a good while back. He didn't go with the other criminal. That other criminal had no intentions of being saved. I don't know if he scolded him or made fun of him after he got saved. You know, I don't know what he did. But I do know this. He was convinced. He didn't go to the crowd. He didn't go to the criminal. And he publicly professed Christ.
Amen.
I'll give you one more through. The occasion that made it all possible. Now tell me, the occasion is a favorable time, opportunity, fact, or event that makes something possible. The cross made it all possible.
Yes, brother.
Well, I'm glad I heard about the old rugged cross.
Oh, yeah.
And I think about all the songs. That song, what a goal, what a friend we have in Jesus. First time that song really got real to me, I was at Camp Zion in Myrtle, Mississippi. And boy, they was a large, I think it was a youth. And they was, I don't know, I believe nearly 2,000 out of that day. And they sung that song, what a friend we have in Jesus. And that verse really spoke to my heart. He said, all what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to the Lord in prayer. You can't carry anything too little. It won't bother him. You can tell him how you feel. I like what Brother McGee said. Just tell him. I find myself, oh really, I don't know what to do, but no. I come to him and I confess it, and man, it's not long. Here I come again. And I said, Lord, I know I said I didn't want to, but Lord, I did it, but I want to stay in fellowship with you. Lord, would you forgive me? And you know, I guess we're all that way. I don't know. I don't want to go days and days without reading the Bible, but sometimes I do. I don't want to go days and days without praying, but man, sometimes it seems like I get up and I'm in such a hurry, boom, boom. And I know you can go down the road praying. I ain't nothing wrong with that. I just that still. Stillness of talking
right.
To him.
Right.
And pouring your heart out to him. And feeling his touch. And his, I don't know how to describe it to you. You just know he's listening.
Yes.
You know he's concerned. You know, sometimes when you talk to people and you're really burdened and you're really bothered, and it seems like they just don't care. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. He cares. I know he cares.
Yeah.
He loves you this morning, this evening. Tonight.